We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Hello, fellow Patriots. Isn't this the first day we've hit 90 this spring? It's still spring, you know, officially, until the 20th when summer. I know, you know, Memorial Day, the unofficial start of summer, certainly feels like it now, I can tell you that, because the ceiling fan here in stately McLean Manor is now at DEFCON 1 with the mercury up at 90. Great to have you along, and as always, your input is invited, encouraged, and welcomed. Here is how you join me and be a part of the conversation this afternoon. Just grab your phone, use the Ingalls Advantage talk line number, 800-347-1063, Common Sense Retirement Planning text line number, 71307, and my email address, bob@1063word.com. As you know, local elections are a matter of import to us here at WORD, and that's why we are inviting as many potential candidates as possible from various races, whether it be local, statewide, federal, what have you, to join us between Tara's show, where Mark Lynch, I believe, was on this morning, and my show here in the afternoon, where we are joined now by Steve Shaw. Steve is a GOP candidate for the Greenville County Council seat representing District 20. Steve, how are you?
Great, Bobby. How are you?
I'm surviving against overwhelming odds.
I imagine so.
It's a whole new world in which we find ourselves. You know, it's interesting, Steve, because in the last hour of the program, we had a regular weekly visit from Freedom Action Network of South Carolina and Dave Schwartz, and we were talking about an issue that I know is near and dear to your heart, and the South Carolina gun laws. And this is something that you not only know a little bit about, but actually have authored a book about.
Correct. Every year I put out the Shaw's South Carolina gun law book. For the last 11 years, we've been doing seminars at continuing ed for judges and attorneys. And I am an attorney. You know, I've actually had to defend in court CWP holders who have had to use the gun in self-defense. So I try to not only be an academic about it, but, you know, I've forced myself to actually take on real cases. And so, yes, I am the author of the South Carolina gun law book.
It's interesting because when I first got a CWP, Steve, I was living in Tennessee. I was living in Memphis at the time. And the instructor, my CWP instructor, was a former Secret Service instructor at their school in Chicago. And he had a standing rule of thumb. His advice was, if you are involved in an incident where you have to use your firearm, when the authorities show up, the only thing you are to say is, I had to fire my weapon in defense of my life. That was it. Because he did not want any of the graduates of his class, obviously emotional, as you would be in that situation, saying something that that might reflect badly on them later in court. Would that be your advice as well?
Absolutely correct. I love police officers. I love deputies. I'm a constable myself. But you know, being an attorney first, the problem is that the rules of court are stacked against you, and saying anything can only hurt you. It can't help you in that situation. Now, there will be a time to tell your story, but I tell people in the book and I tell people in person, do not talk to the police. Do not talk to anybody unless you're rendering some type of medical assistance and you need to tell somebody something medically. But obviously, if you have to use your firearm in self-defense, you want to actually, once it's safe, you're going to help the person that you had to shoot. But anyway, you don't want to say anything to anybody until you've called an attorney.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Steve, for people that don't know much about you, personally, your background, can you give us a little thumbnail bio?
Sure. I came from a small town in Florida called Ocala, Florida, where all the horses are from. And I went to schools in Florida, and I was up here. I'd visit my brother all the time up here. He's an electrical engineer. Mm-hmm. And I met my wife that way. It was Valentine's weekend, and that was about 16, 17 years ago. And we got married about 6 months later, and I've always loved it up here and was happy to get married and then move up here.
Yeah. So you have this is, like me, the upstate of South Carolina and Greenville is a new adopted home, or TR in your case, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I love it. And don't they say that with the adoptions or something, that hey, it's the you choose the, that kind of thing. So absolutely, it's a place I love to be.
Yeah, me too. I fall back on the old explanation. I wasn't born here, but I got here as quick as I could.
That's a good one. I'll start using it.
You you mentioned, Steve, you're an attorney. What kind of law are you practicing?
Mostly I do real estate law, and I've helped small businesses go through development process or go through application processes with the county, that kind of thing. Closings, I'm of counsel with Guest & Brady, which is on Wade Hampton. So I do a lot of closings, but through my role there as of counsel. And then a ton of estate planning. But I have done, like I said, I've done attempted murder with a firearm. We don't do many criminal cases, but if it has something to do with CWP, somebody not getting their CWP, they were denied by SLED. Some people are getting, some completely innocent people are sometimes they inherit or sometimes come across firearms, NFA, Class 3 firearms that they had no idea that they were needed to be stamped or something, or a grandfather brought them back from World War II. So we get all kinds of interesting gun cases, too. And that's kind of the labor of love part of it. I love the gun cases.
The foray into politics, is this running as a GOP candidate for Greenville County Council, the District 20 seat, this your first foray into politics, Steve?
It is in full force. I'm already on the Zoning Board of Appeals in Greenville County here. I just got reappointed to that last week. So I really like, that's kind of a jury where the individual applicants come with special use permits or a variance, and they come in front of us and we determine whether it's under the law they can do what they want to do. And people want to do some things to tweak their property, and I think for the most part we're happy to do that, but that's what I'm on that there. I've been supporting a ton of green GOP candidates up here through meet and greets and all that. I've tried to participate in the party as much as I can, so I guess your question is yes. I guess I'm not sure. I might have talked myself out of forgetting what the question is.
Well, at least you're not like Joe Biden saying that you're going to defeat Joe Biden. So that's
love him? Love he's just a bag of tricks.
Holy cow! Somebody's got to tackle that guy. I mean, just really, just bring the guy down, for heaven's sake. It's embarrassing, Steve. For people who live in District 20, what would you like to tell them about why they should vote for you to hold that seat on council as opposed to any of your opponents?
Well, I believe I first asked them to just look into our background as to our experience in education. I started off at my undergraduate degrees in real estate, and I took that all the way through a real estate broker's license. I've got a, and then I went just after law school, I went back and got a PhD in urban and regional planning. So I've I very much appreciate trying to make the most livability out of a place, but to do it without raising taxes and burdening people with regulations or telling them you can and can't do something.
Amen.
I think there's a way. Yeah, and I think that the scholarship is behind it, and I think we've got a tremendous opportunity in District 20 because there's so many opportunities for great infill. We don't have to go chopping up new lands out there.
Right.
There's plenty of lands that are very close that are already, you know, just need to be repurposed, reloved, whatever you want to call it. So that's and then other I think I'm just naturally I love people. I'm out there with people a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I like to listen. I love listening to people and relating to them and then trying to solve the problem along with them. And I just feel like I'm energized. I mean, I just always have energy to forward the conservative message. I'm tired of being a conservative and being on the defense all the time.
Yeah, you know, I hear you.
We need offense.
Yeah, we definitely need a high-powered offense. No question about it.
Exactly.
I appreciate your taking time to join us. I see, Stephen, you mentioned you did your undergrad work at Florida State. And you got your PhD at and your Juris Doctor at Florida. Do you have to do like the president at the Army-Navy game when the two play? Do you spend half on one side of the field and then cross over at halftime and sit on the other side, or what?
What it has taught me to learn to be, and I love being it, is that both a Clemson and a Gamecocks fan.
There you
go.
It's,
you know, I'm just naturally able to do that now.
I know exactly what you mean because I'm a Tar Heel and a Tiger as well. Steve Shaw.
Oh, there you go.
He is a GOP candidate for the Greenville County Council District 20 seat. Steve, thanks for joining us today. It's good to have you here, and best of luck to you next Tuesday.
Bobby, thank you so much for your show because we listen to it every day, and you're extremely important to the community. Thank you.
Very kind. Thank you. Appreciate the compliment. 17 after 5 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Take a quick break here, and then right back as the 5 o'clock follies roll on here on the Hump Day Edition on WORD.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Welcome back. Excuse me, pardon me. 522 here on the Bobby Mac Show on this Wednesday afternoon. Let me see if I can quickly catch up with the text line. Holy cow. 64 new messages. Here we go. Bobby, is the Democrat convention going to scale back, practice social distancing, and require face masks like Governor Cooper is requiring of the Republicans? Well, Republicans are not going to have to comply with any of that now because President Trump said last night the GOP convention will not be held in Charlotte. Where will it be held? Well, stay tuned because we don't know yet. Cities that I have suggested, that have been suggested to me as potential landing spots for the GOP convention would be Atlanta, Nashville, and Jacksonville, Florida. Okay? Also in on that text line. Well, I tell you what, I'll catch up with more of the text line on the other side, because I want to talk about this business today in Washington with Rod Rosenstein, former deputy attorney general, adamantly denying today that he ever suggested wearing a wire to record President Trump or invoking the 25th Amendment to remove him from office. Rosenstein, appearing before the Senate Judiciary Committee, that's Lindsey, as the first witness as part of the panel's investigation into the origins of the Russian probe. Senator Mazie Hirono, she's a commie from Hawaii, asked Rosenstein about the accuracy of the 2018 New York Times report that said he made the suggestion to record the president and invoke the 25th Amendment. Rosenstein said, "I did not suggest or hint at secretly recording President Trump. I have never in any way suggested that the president should be removed from office under the 25th Amendment." Now, there is more on his testimony here, and there's late breaking news as well. The former deputy AG also testified today he would not have signed the FISA warrant renewal for former Trump campaign aide Carter Page had he known about the since-revealed misconduct surrounding those warrants, while faulting the FBI for its handling of the documents. This is known in political circles as the Sergeant Schultz defense. You remember Sergeant Schultz from Hogan's Heroes? I know nothing. Rosenstein confirmed that he signed a FISA warrant renewal application on Carter Page during a hearing before the Senate Judiciary Committee, where he was the first witness today. Committee Chairman Lindsey Graham-Nasty, Rhino, South Carolina, asking Rosenstein, "If you knew then what you know now, would you have signed the warrant application?" "No, I would not," Rosenstein said in his opening statement, defended his own actions related to the FISA warrant, saying that every application I approved appeared to be justified based on the facts that alleged. Rosenstein implicitly pointed the finger at the FBI for since-revealed problems in that process, saying the FBI was supposed to be following protocols to ensure that every fact was verified. Inspector General's findings last year revealing the FBI actually was not following the written protocols and that significant errors appeared in applications filed in connection with the Crossfire Hurricane investigation. Rosenstein repeatedly claimed to be unaware of details that have since been used by critics to raise questions about the probe. Rosenstein said he obviously didn't know there was exculpatory evidence with regard to the origins of the Russia investigation, including details about Michael Flynn and George Papadopoulos. So Rosenstein would have us believe that whatever somebody stuck in front of his face, he signed. He may have given a cursory glance here or there, but, I mean, if it was bumped up to his desk, it had been obviously reviewed by half a dozen people before him, and so therefore it must be accurate and must be right. So there was no need for him, as the deputy attorney general, to even bother to read what he was signing. And if you believe that, I have part of a bridge in Brooklyn I would be happy to sell you. I don't own the whole thing, but I can sell you my part of it. Well, this is rich, because now we have guerrilla warfare going on amongst the co-conspirators. Later this afternoon, following Mr. Rosenstein's testimony, former FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe is now accusing Rod Rosenstein of giving false testimony today about James Comey's memos documenting his interactions with President Trump. During his appearance before the Senate Judiciary Committee, Rosenstein suggested that McCabe should have shared details about former FBI Director Comey's memos on his conversations with the president earlier, claiming that he didn't tell him about their existence until right before they were leaked. Asked whether McCabe lied to him, Rosenstein testified, "Lying is when you ask someone a direct question and get a false answer. Candor is when you're forthcoming with information someone needs to know." Oh, I see. So now we're down to how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. Candor is when you're forthcoming with information someone needs to know. I believe McCabe should have recognized that when I became acting AG, overseeing the Russia probe, I needed to know about Comey's memos, and he didn't tell me until a couple of hours before they showed up in the New York Times, which is a whole other set of problems in itself, by the way, because leaking this stuff is a felony. Who did that? More on this, but it certainly is rich to watch the co-conspirators now going for each other's throats. Little Annie is ready to go in the news center. I'm right back on the other side. 529 here on Hump Day on WORD. Welcome back. Great to have you along. 5:38 here, 22 before 6 on the Bobby Mac Show. I'm going to make a concerted effort to catch up with the text line here coming up momentarily. But first, it is that time within the 5 o'clock follies when we welcome in Gary Goodvoice for today's edition of ATF.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, Bob McClain presents Amazing, Amazing, True Facts.
Thank you, Gary. And as always for ATF, I'm joined by the Bobettes, Miss Moneypenny in the studio.
Hello!
And Little Annie in the news center.
Hey, Bobby Mac.
Okay, confess to your guilt. You ever kept a library book longer than you should have?
Busted.
Maybe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have.
Dare I say, as I gaze over into the library here at Stately McLean Manor, and I see a copy of The Greatest Game of All, author Jack Nicklaus, which seems to have a stamp on the spine from the Memphis Public Library.
Bobby!
Well, it got packed inadvertently, and guess I could, you know, FedEx it back to him. Probably bought another copy by now. In any event, all of us are going to have to live a lot more years to beat this Guinness World Record. Set by a woman named Emily Canellos-Sims.
Okay.
She is from Kewanee, Illinois. I may or may not be pronouncing that right. It might be Kewanee. Has the new Guinness World Record for the longest overdue library book and largest fine for it. She recently returned a book of poetry called Days and Deeds. Her mom checked it out April of 1955. Could be a little bit past its due date. Total fine she paid, $345.14.
Girl.
But she gets a gold star for honesty. Well, those experts, they're at it again, you know, with their advice, right?
Yeah.
Researchers from Harvard who studied the risk of passing coronavirus through, well, fooling around with your significant other, now say couples should wear masks. They should also avoid kissing and shower before and after to be as safe as possible. Boy, those Harvard researchers, they're so romantic, you know? Cool Ranch Doritos, who doesn't like them? Finally available in Canada again after a shortage caused by what else? The Wuhan flu. The supply was low because before the pandemic, there wasn't much of a huge demand for them. And once the thing started, suddenly everybody wanted them. Shelves were cleaned out. So now they got Cool Ranch Doritos back. A picture from India shows a group of wild monkeys lined up with perfect social distancing to eat. Should we take a message from, I mean, they are what, share 98% of our DNA, something like that? And how about a bar in Spain now using a humanoid robot as a server to bring people drinks? What could possibly go wrong with that, right? You can hear it now. Here is your hydroxychloroquine cocktail. Yeah, thanks a lot. Where's the lemon? Put some fruit in there, will you? 34-year-old guy, Christoph Hermannsdorfer. Nice Italian name. from Williamstown, Mass. On Tuesday, he was in a friend's car. They were driving through Vermont, Bernie country, you know.
Yeah.
Apparently, he had a, quote, large pickle. I'm not speaking euphemistically. He had this big pickle, and they got held up by the equivalent of the DOT. The Vermont Agency of Transportation was working on the side of the highway, and Christoph got ticked off, and so used the large pickle.
He threw his pickle.
He threw his pickle, and he hit the guy in the back. According to the police report, quote, causing him pain. As a result of his pickle throwing, he is facing misdemeanor assault charges.
There's a pickle in your pocket.
Are you just happy to see him? Next case on the docket, Christoph Hermannsdorfer. Misdemeanor assault charge. What the? Throwing a pickle? Can't wait till the judge gets through with this guy.
Oh, Lord.
And finally today, and not a moment too soon, an update on Tiger King. Okay?
Awesome.
Anybody still following Tiger King, or is that pretty much over?
The people that really got into Tiger King followed the news of it.
Yeah. I got 25 minutes into episode one and said,
all the people that really cannot stand Carol Baskins follows it.
Yeah, really. Well, here is our Tiger King update, and she features in it a county sheriff in Florida now declares the will of Carol Baskin's long-missing husband was, bum, 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 a forgery.
Say it isn't so.
Yeah, here he is. Here's the sheriff.
The only update was the fact that they called in some experts to say that the will was a forgery, and I had already told them, you know, that, what, you know, 2 months ago.
Wait, the will is a forgery?
Oh, yeah, no, they had two experts deem it 100% a forgery.
And so, as a result of this revelation, now, wait a minute, statute of limitations has expired. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, but, you did thought you'd hear like to that know. The people that are still watching and following Tiger King
right.
know that she was awarded Joe Exotic's zoo this past week.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So she got what she was wanting.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. That's it. There's the Hump Day Edition, ATF.
Brought to you by Mr. Pickle.
That's right. Mr. Large Pickle. 14 before 6. I think I'm in a pickle myself. 14 before 6 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Be right back. Welcome back. 9 minutes now before 6 o'clock here in the 5 o'clock Follies on the bonus hour. So this is Rich. Now Rosenstein and McCabe are at each other's throats. Rosenstein testifying today, and now Andy McCabe saying, no, that's not the way it happened. He's lying. this whole thing is getting rich. And they were talking about these memos from Comey that showed up in the New York Times that Rosenstein said, I didn't know anything about them until I was told right before they came out in the New York Times. Comey admitted to Congress during his testimony June 3 years ago that after he was fired, he purposefully leaked several memos through an intermediary, a law professor at Columbia, who's a buddy of his, to ensure that a special counsel would be appointed, as happened with Mueller. Comey leaked his memos to a friend, Columbia Law School professor Daniel Richman, who later served as Comey's attorney. Richman ultimately leaked the contents of the memo to the New York Times. As I mentioned, that's a felony. McCabe today firing back, essentially accusing Rosenstein of lying. Mr. Rosenstein's claims to have been misled by me or anyone from the FBI regarding our concerns about President Trump and the Trump campaign's interactions with Russia, which were non-existent, by the way, are completely false, McCabe said. Uh-oh. Mr. Rosenstein approved of and suggested ways to enhance our investigation of the president. Further, I personally briefed Mr. Rosenstein on Jim Comey's memos describing his interactions with the president mere days after Mr. Rosenstein, Mr. Rosenstein wrote the memo firing Jim Comey. McCabe then added, Mr. Rosenstein's testimony is completely at odds with the factual record. It looks to be yet another sad attempt by the president and his men. Oh, this is all Trump's fault. These guys are now at each other's throats. This is rich. It looks to be yet another sad attempt by the president and his men to rewrite the history of their actions in 2017. They found in Mr. Rosenstein, then and now, a willing accessory in that effort. Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Lindsey Graham-Nasty, Rhino, South Carolina, read McCabe's statement to Rosenstein at the end of the hearing Wednesday and asked for his response. Rosenstein said, quote, I think one thing you need to appreciate is that I had a very strong team working with me at the Justice Department, including Trump appointees, career people, Republicans, and Democrats. I spoke to my team, not Mr. McCabe. I spoke with my team. He went on to note he never explicitly said McCabe misled him. No, he just did a pretty good job of giving us that impression. Rosenstein, adding, I did not say Mr. McCabe misled me. What I said was that he did not reveal the Comey memos to me for a week, and that is true. And he revealed them to me only a couple of hours before they showed up in the New York Times. He did not reveal to me that he was having internal deliberations with his team on whether to target very high-profile people for investigation. Rosenstein continued, noting McCabe's position was that he did not have to notify the Justice Department until after he had signed off on those probes. That's the kind of thing I needed to know, Rosenstein said. I haven't accused him of making misstatements to me. I have accused him of not being fully forthcoming. I'm telling you, these guys can parse language like nobody you ever saw. Rosenstein added he was confident people at the DOJ will back me up. I had a right to know the deliberations inside the FBI because McCabe knew I'd just come into this job. I didn't know what they were investigating except what he told me, Rosenstein said, adding that he didn't have the underlying evidence. I was relying on the information that came from the FBI. I have not made any unfair allegations against Mr. McCabe. Well, here we are, 2020, maybe the toughest year in many of our lifetimes. And at this point, you know, you can't help but think about getting away from it all. Little Annie mentioned space station's going to be overhead tonight, carrying Bob and Doug, who got there, of course, on SpaceX.
3, 2, 1, ignition. Liftoff of the Falcon 9 and Crew Dragon. Go NASA, go SpaceX, Godspeed, Bob and Doug.
Everything's a mess in the year 2020. I hope that Elon Musk has a place where we can go. I wanna take a ride to the stars and beyond. I need to get off of this planet. So get me a ticket to the space station.
Thanks for flying the Falcon 9 today. Wish you a great mission.
I want SpaceX. Come on!
Yeah, we need a break. SpaceX seems as good a spot as any. That's it for the 5 o'clock Follies. Howsomever, one more to go. Bonus hour still ahead here on the Bobby Mack Show. WORD.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.